We'll continue our study as, behold, I will do a new thing. So tonight, open your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. Is that too much wind? It doesn't bother me. I'm always warm. That's a powerful fan. Man, I'm going to do with all this hair. I know. Hallelujah. You know, it's kind of interesting that the word doesn't speak very much about Stephen. But it talks about him as a Stephen was full of faith and power and did great wonders and miracles amongst the people in Acts chapter 6, verse number 8. But tonight we want to look at verse number 55 and 56 of Acts chapter 7. The Word of God says in verse 55, but he being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, behold. Remember, when we're looking at behold, we're witnessing the remarkable or something extraordinary. So we pay note. I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. You know, the Bible says without vision, the people perish, but Stephen has a vision of heaven. And I think when I look at this and I see this with Stephen, he's getting ready to be stoned to death. And I see that the Lord showed him a picture of where his destination was. So what he was actually facing really didn't become as big as it was. His eyes were in heaven. It's kind of amazing that just as Jesus did, Stephen says, Father, forgive them for they don't know what they're doing. Amen? Just as Jesus did. So he was full of the Holy Ghost. He was full of faith. And the first thing I wanted to talk about this evening is this speaks about vision. This speaks about vision. This speaks of vision. Turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 6. We find that vision comes many times as an answer to prayer. As an answer to prayer. We find that Elijah and his servant are overwhelmed with an army. There's an army that's there. And Elijah isn't fearful whatsoever. All right? Elijah doesn't have any fear whatsoever. This is Elisha, not Elijah. And he doesn't have any fear because he has seen the Lord. But his servant hadn't. And the Word of God says in Acts chapter 7, Second Kings chapter 6, verse 16. And he answered and said, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elijah. And what the Lord is speaking to me about is, sometimes when we're faced with adversity, sometimes when we're facing the storm, God wants you to understand that there's more for you than against you. No matter what it seems like, no matter what it may look like, amen? In other words, there was an army of a host, a heavenly host, that surrounded Elijah and had a hedge of protection around him. And Elijah could see it, but his servant couldn't. So our prayer should be, maybe, Lord, open my eyes so that I may see past the current circumstance or the situation that I am facing. Amen? We find that this speaks of prophecy. If you look with me in Isaiah chapter 33, let's start with verse number 15. Sounds like waves here. I hear the ocean. What do you think, Silas? Verse number 15, he that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of the oppressions, and that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of the blood, and shut up his eyes from seeing evil, he shall dwell on high, his place of defense shall be in the munitions of the rocks, bread shall be given him, and waters shall be sure. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty, and this is speaking of the future, of the Messiah coming, that they shall behold the land that is very far off. Amen? And I was reminded when I was looking at this, there was an old song that went something like this. I can see clearly now the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Aren't you glad I'm not going to sing more? In other words, through the eyes of the Lord, we can see. Amen? And when I was thinking about that, he took me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I wasn't thinking about that before just this moment. The Lord didn't tell me to sing, I can see clearly now. Amen? But I can see clearly now. The rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Don't let the clouds form around you now. It's going to be a bright, bright, sun, S-O-N, shining day. Amen? Can anybody use a bright, sun, shining day? The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12, 1, it is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. He says, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Amen? I will come to visions and revelations. Apocalypsis, or an uncovering, or a revealing. That the Apostle Paul once said that, hey, I'll come to visions and revelations. In other words, God doesn't show you something that he won't give you the interpretation thereof. You know, one of the things I saw when I saw this scripture with Stephen, it speaks of an open heaven. It speaks of an open heaven. Heaven's been opened by Jesus. Amen? Look with me in Matthew chapter 3. Smile, Jesus loves you. I love the smile. I read this article one time that says if you frown, your face is going to sag when you get older. Hello? For the gravitational pull. This used to be chest. Amen? So smile. Keep your cheeks up high. Amen? Amen? Because the joy of the Lord is our strength, right? Amen? Here we find that John the Baptist is speaking about Jesus. And in verse 16, he says, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Amen? So when I look up, when I'm thinking about an open heaven, Jesus was the way, he was the key to open the heaven for you and I. Amen? He is the keys to heaven. He's the kingdom key. It's always through Jesus. Amen? He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And no one comes to the Father but by him. So we have an open door through heaven through Jesus Christ. When I was thinking about an open heaven, that we have the opportunity to go right into the throne room of grace through Jesus Christ. Amen. If it wasn't for Jesus' blood, I couldn't go to the throne room of grace because I'd be fried. Amen. I'd be a fried sly. See, this open heaven speaks about a door of grace being open for you and I. And I think it's interesting in Acts chapter 10, and we're looking at visions. This was a crazy vision that Peter got. And Acts chapter 10, verse number 11. The word of God says, "And I saw heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet, knit at the four corners, and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' But Peter said, 'Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean.' And the voice spake unto him again the second time, 'What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common.' This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again to heaven." Isn't there something about Peter in threes? Remember what the Lord said that Peter, before the cock crows, you'll deny me three times? And all of a sudden, he had to remind him, tell him about this thing three times. He told him thrice or three. But it's interesting. And you see this vision, and sometimes you have a vision, and it's that. And the whole vision was about the door being opened for the Gentiles to receive the Holy Ghost. Amen. That he poured out the Holy Ghost upon all flesh, as it was prophesied in Joel, when your sons and daughters were going to prophesy. Your old, young men were going to have visions, and your old men were going to have dreams. Amen. And on my handmaidens and my servants, I'm going to pour out my spirit in those days. Because if you turn and you look there, it says in Acts 10:44, "And while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them that heard the word." Amen. And in other words, it came upon the Gentiles, and they thought that was crazy because they were unclean. Amen. But what makes us clean is the blood of Jesus, right? And this speaks of, hey, we have an open heaven through Jesus. We have an open door of grace that's poured out to you and I to receive every good gift, and every perfect gift is from above. And it cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Amen. There's an avenue that's been opened for you and I as children. And this speaks of the truth. When I was looking at that, I went to Revelation chapter 19. And the Revelator, John the Revelator, is having a vision. He's having a dream. Okay, he's having a vision. He's in the Isle of Patmos. He's there by himself. He's having a heavenly vision. And this vision was came to him, and he said, and I saw, in verse 11, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war." And he is true and faithful. He is true and faithful. This speaks of Jesus. This speaks of our Savior. It speaks of our Redeemer. Hallelujah. Amen. Are y'all with me? Amen. So we're speaking, this speaks of Jesus. He says, "I saw the Son of Man," the Son of Man. When you hear the Son of Man is Jesus. So we identify him as Jesus. Through the Son of Man, we have power to forgive. We're looking at power. Through the name of Jesus, there's power to forgive. So look with me in Matthew chapter 9. Jesus is healing someone. He's healing a man with has the palsy. The palsy was a paralytic disease. The man was paralyzed and was not able to walk. But Jesus says in verse number 5 of Matthew 9, for whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. And he arose and he departed. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto man. See, he hadn't recognized that God was with them yet. They didn't recognize that Jesus was God made flesh dwelling amongst them. So he has power there. There's also power to save. Power to save. In Matthew chapter 18. Hallelujah, Silas. Sounds just like Jonathan. Does he, Amber? Sounds just like Jonathan, doesn't he? He might listen to the recording. And Matthew 18, verse number 10, the Word of God says this. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. The Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. How think ye if a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which has gone astray? If so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. God wants you and I to recognize that the power to save, that God doesn't just want to save, but he wants to keep. And how valuable and important his babies are to him. Amen? In other words, they have great value. He said, matter of fact, Jesus would even go further and say, if you offend one of these little ones, it would be better for you to put a millstone around your neck and cast yourself into the sea. Amen? And in other words, God cares about everyone. And we don't want to be so spiritual that we're no earthly good. Amen? We have to minister. We have to train them up. We have to disciple the people. And I want to say this. When someone's missing from the body, they get a call from me. They get a visit from me. But they want to hear from you. They want to hear from the body that they're important and that they have value, that they have worth. You know, in a world that we live in, everything is out there to steal everyone's value and everyone's worth. And God wants you to know how valuable you are. You know, in our school systems, you have all this peer pressure. You have these people that are being mean to one another, that are saying evil to one another. Amen? And we're not to render evil for evil. We're to bless them that persecute us and despitefully use us. And we have to train up our child and our children in the way that those things do not affect them. Amen? In other words, the helmet of salvation protects our minds. And in other words, to teach them that they don't have to receive everything that's said to them. Not from their teachers and their guidings. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying they don't listen to their teachers. But there's a lot of peer pressure. And there's a lot of bullying going on, you know, in the schools. Amen? I'm ministering to a young lady that's totally, because of something that happened in high school, that she came into this place where she's not even communicating or talking anymore. And she was very vocal before. And very open before, and now, because of the things that happened to her, she's got herself in a shell. And so we have to be sensitive to that. You know, we have to be sensible to that in the body of Christ for those that are here, that people go through things. And when they go through things, they're not going through them alone. That we're a body and we're all here for one another. We're here to encourage one another. We're here to edify one another. We're here to comfort one another. Amen? That's what God's called us to do. And, you know, and our teachers in the educational system, they do the best they can. But at the same time, we live in a world which is going haywire. Hello? Is anybody living in the same world I'm living in? Hello? But you know what? We as children of God, we can make a difference. We can make a difference in the high school we're in. We can be that one that represents Christ. We're the image of Christ. Amen? We can respond like Christ would respond. We hear that saying all the time, what would Jesus do? How would Jesus react? What would he do in these situations, in these circumstances? Amen? You know what he would do? Half these people, let me tell you something. Half these individuals that are mean, most of them don't have any love in their home. Most of them come from broken homes and broken families, and you don't have any idea what it's like for them. Amen? And that's just what's come in place. So what we need to do is we need to love them and pray for them. And it's important for us to pray for our brothers and sisters. Amen? How many could use somebody praying for them? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Jesus was saying here that even the everyone, he cares for everyone. That one that went astray, man, when that one comes back, he carried on his shoulders, he's just got a big smile on his face. Hey, man. Hey, 99, this one was lost, but praise God, it's back and it's found. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He promises us also to return. Amen. Matthew 24. Verse 25. He says, behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. There is not going to be any mistakes. When he comes, the sky's going to split. Amen. And he's going to return. So somebody said Jesus is over here and Jesus is over there. Believe him not, because everyone will know. Amen. Every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. Amen. And when I looked at this, he says the Son of Man. And one of the things that really spoke to my heart is he's seated on the right hand of God. And this speaks of his exalted position. That he's got an exalted position, highly exalted. Is that what it is? That's what it is. Hallelujah. So look with me in 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse number 22. Peter's speaking about Jesus, who has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God. Angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Every name that's named in heaven and earth must bow to the name of Jesus. Amen? So, what is he saying to you and I tonight? Just as Peter said, as Luke writes in Acts chapter 7, verse number 56, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of God. Behold is to see or to witness. We talked about vision. The heavens opened. God wants you and I to understand and have revelation and understanding through Christ Jesus, the heaven's been opened up. We serve an open heaven. The Bible says when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, the veil, the veil was torn from top to bottom. The veil was what separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies. And through Jesus Christ, we have the privilege of going right to into the presence of God. And this speaks of an open heaven. We have the Son of Man. This speaks of Jesus. And that he's highly exalted. Speaks about position. So what we're going to do tonight in closing, if we can just all stand.